Body said,
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your people who are committed, consecrated unto you, and they are there every time at the time appointed. We're asking, Lord, that are coming, are learning, are preaching, are sharing, a devotion will not be in vain in Jesus' name. Speak your word to every heart tonight. Well, thank you because we know it's done. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
God bless you. You can sit down. We're looking at Acts of the Apostles chapter 2. And we're reading verse 42. Acts chapter 2. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You'll find a word in the middle there, fellowship. That's what we're talking about today in the Acts of the Apostles. And the people heard the word, and they gave their lives to the Lord. They became born again, and they were baptized in water. Please understand that believing also leads to being baptized in water. And as they were baptized in water, we're told that they had fellowship, a fruitful fellowship, a faithful fellowship, a focused fellowship, fruitful fellowship they had without fear. The people outside feared them, but in the fellowship within the body there was no fear, and they were living like members of his family. That's how we're looking at the word fruitful fellowship, without fear in his family. Three things we're looking at. Number one, faithful fellowship of brethren in the beloved. When you are born again, you come into Christ, and Christ comes into you. Christ is referred to as the beloved, and you are in the beloved. You are there, she is there, he is there, we are there, and we're faithful to him. We're brethren because we're all in the beloved. Look at number two. Number two is fresh fellowship. Not stale, not dry, not it used to be, but the very fellowship now, every time, every day. Fresh fellowship blossoming, growing, refreshed every time through the bridegroom. He is the bridegroom, and we are the bride. We're referred to as the bride collectively. We're referred to as the body collectively. And when the members of the body, when they coordinate well together, they relate well together, they function well together, that's a good body with a good head. When the members of the body, the natural body, when they attack each other, when they bite each other, when they work against each other, when they are not well coordinated, we say that that person, the head, the body, everything, deranged, mental, insane. But as the body of Christ, and we're all brethren together, and we walk in unison, and we walk in a very coordinated way, and we act in a way to move the whole body forward, that the kind of fellowship that blossoms through the bridegroom. Number three is the full fellowship. There could be halfway fellowship. Up to this point I go, and no more. There could be partial fellowship. This area I accept, that area I don't accept. That's not the fellowship in the Acts of the Apostles. Full fellowship of believers as brethren. We're looking at number one. Number one is faithful fellowship of brethren in the beloved. We're looking at Acts chapter 2, reading from verse 40. It says in verse 40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself, rescue yourself, remove yourself from this untoward generation. The apostle Peter was calling the people. They were not believers at that time. Was approaching them as unbelievers. Repent, turn around, change your ways, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be baptized in the authority, in the name, by the order and the commandment of Jesus. And then he told them, the promise is unto you, the promise of salvation, the promise of sanctification, the promise of holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, the promise of the baptism, immersion, enveloping in the Holy Ghost, is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. They responded to that, and then he now told them, you must save yourselves from this untoward generation, evil generation, sinful generation, polluted generation. You are to turn away from all that. And then in verse 41 it says, and they that gladly received his word were baptized in water. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Then in verse 42, it says, and they continued, the people who had repented, the people who had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the people who had been baptized in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the people who had gladly accepted the word, and the people who had the witness of the Spirit of God in them, that they were born again. The people who now identified as followers of Christ, believers in Christ, and their lives have been transformed. They continued steadfastly, and they didn't just continue haphazardly. When I like, I come. When I don't like, I don't. When I feel good, I listen. When I don't feel good, I don't participate. It says steadfastly, they continued, number one, in the doctrine, in the apostles' doctrine. There are people that invite us to fellowship, don't look at our doctrine, don't examine our doctrine, don't bring your doctrine, don't talk about doctrine, but we want fellowship. The number one thing here is that they continued in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. In fellowship. And it says they were breaking bread and they were also praying. And we're told the origin of this fellowship, how they were called into this fellowship, and the experience as they remained in that fellowship. In Ephesians chapter 1, reading from verse 6. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, it said, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. He makes us accepted. We're not outside Christ. In the beloved. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. If our sins have not been forgiven, we'll just be in the union of natural people, a union of sinners. There are many unions in the world, this union, that union, that union. And they have some principles and pattern by which they operate. They too, in those unions, union of natural people, union of sinners, union of ordinary people, in those unions they have some benefits too, and also they have some responsibilities. But this one is saying, this is not a union of natural people. This is a fellowship of people who are forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Then he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, reading from verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, reading from verse 9. It says, God is faithful. God is faithful, faithful to the Son of God, that you go into the world and pay the price for the sins of humanity. And if they believe through that blood, I will save them. God is faithful. Faithful to his only begotten Son, Christ. Faithful to Calvary. That's what Calvary has provided. Everyone that comes unto him, the Lord faithfully will give unto him, faithful unto the repentant sinner. That if you turn and you turn to the Lord and you forsake your sin, he will have mercy. He will abundantly pardon. He's faithful to the sinner that comes to Christ. He's faithful to the saint, to the children of God. The promises he has given to the people that come out, they come in, they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. He's faithful to the eternal word, and it will not change his word. And we can rely on that word. We can believe in that word. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. If somebody is not in fellowship with Christ, he cannot be in fellowship with the church of Christ. If he's not in fellowship with Christ, a sinner who does not repent, a backslider who is purposely following the way of backsliding, is in the far country and is not in fellowship with Christ, he cannot be in fellowship with the people of God. After all, the fellowship we're talking about is the fellowship of brethren in the beloved. And so he must be in Christ. And he says that when fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What's the result of that? Look at verse 10. In verse 10, it says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all, are you in fellowship? That ye all, in fellowship with Christ, in fellowship with one another, that ye all speak the same thing. We all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. That's fellowship. No divisions among you. No contrary thinking among you. No contrary doctrine among you. No contrary conversation in your heart. No contrary self-talk. You're talking to yourself, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, I'm in the fellowship, but I'm not going to agree with him. I'm not going to agree with her. He says, no, that's no fellowship. He says fellowship means that you will not allow divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together. Not loosely joined together. Not haphazardly joined together. Not tribal, traditional joining together, perfectly joined together. That's what it says, and that's what we ought to follow. If there is that looseness in the fellowship, if there is that imperfection in the fellowship, if there is that agree and disagree, have affection, don't have affection, forgive and not forgive, if there is that up and down, to and fro, up and down in the fellowship, that's not real fellowship. You're perfectly joined together. You said the same thing. You believe the same thing. And you are perfectly in fellowship together. That's what together is important. And it says, you say, you do, you act, you follow, you uphold the same thing, having the same mind and in the same judgment. Well, I don't think like he thinks, I have a different idea. No, that's not fellowship, that we judge situations the same way, because we're judging by the word of God. We're going by the word of God. And if we're going by the word of God, we'll go the same direction. We'll think in the same direction. We will utter the same thing. It takes the work of grace in the heart for that to happen. It takes real regeneration for that to happen. It takes the grace that brings righteousness, the grace that brings redemption, the grace that brings total revolution from the heart, so that we will have the same mind, the same heart, the same direction, the same view, and the same purpose of heart as we live. It tells us in 1 John chapter 1 verse 3. 1 John chapter 1 verse 3. It says that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. What we have seen, what we have heard, that we declare to you. Why? So that you can have fellowship with us. If we have to hide what we have seen, if we have to hide what we know, if we have to hide the knowledge we have in Christ, so that you can have fellowship with us, that's not biblical fellowship. It's what we have heard. It's what we have seen. What we heard of Christ. What we have seen of Christ. The experience we have in Christ. And the observation we have made. And everything we learned in Christ. That we declare unto you for one purpose, so that you'll have fellowship with us. And truly, really, certainly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. In verse 6, it tells us in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not do the truth. If we say we have fellowship with him, there are many sayers, they are not doers. We have fellowship with him, they walk in the darkness of sin. They walk in the darkness of secrecy. They're so secretive. And we have fellowship with him? No. You cannot have fellowship with him and not be open. You cannot have fellowship with him and not be sincere. If you say you have fellowship with him and you're walking in a secret, in sinfulness, in hypocrisy, you lie and do not the truth. In verse 7, he tells us, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Do you know people that say we're in fellowship and they will not allow you to see what they are doing? Why? Because it's of darkness. They do not have the genuine faith that transforms life. And so once you want to pry into what they are doing, they get offended. I wanted to be in fellowship with him, but it's too inquisitive. I thought that's fellowship. That you will know what I'm doing. I will know what you're doing. wants your what? To maintain your secrecy. There's no fellowship there. In the early church, there's no secrecy. Is Peter doing something John should not know? Is Matthew doing something that James will not know? The only secretive fellow was Judas Iscariot. He held the bag. He was, you know, here and there. And none of those other apostles knew what he was doing. That man was not in fellowship. He's gone away long time ago. When we come to fellowship, and when we're really saved, we're really born again, it says, hey, we walk in the light as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. In Leviticus chapter 6, we're looking at it from verse 2. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 2. If a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord and lie unto his neighbor. Think of that. When you lie to your neighbor, you sin against the Lord. We can sin with the word of mouth. We can sin in action with our hands. We can sin with body language. We can sin with a deceptive look. When somebody deceives his neighbor and he lies to his neighbor, he sins against the Lord. And it says, in that which was delivered unto him to keep, and in fellowship. In fellowship. When we do things contrary to the fellowship of the body, it says, or in a sin taken away by violence. When you take somebody's property away by violence, there's no fellowship there. When you take any material sin away by violence, there's no fellowship there anymore. When you take the minds of people away from Christ, away from the body, away from where the direction they ought to go, you turn their mind, you twist their mind, and you take their mind away from the unity of the body. You are not in fellowship. And it says, when something is taken away by violence, or he has deceived his neighbor, it says he's in fellowship and is deceiving his neighbor, is deceiving his so-called friend, is deceiving his so-called leader, is deceiving, is my leader, is my leader, all the time is shouting, leader, leader, is deceptive. That's not fellowship. And when that has been done, and has been done by violence, look at verse 3. It says in verse 3, or he has found that which was lost, and lieth and deceives concerning it, and sweareth falsely. Look at that. In any of all these that a man, a woman doeth, sinning therein. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, it says, then it shall be, because he has sinned. Remember, it's in fellowship, but he has sinned by taking something away violently from the man, from the woman. Like, for example, husband And why? They are supposed to be in fellowship. For this cause shall a man leave the father and the mother. Have you thought about the other side? For this cause shall a woman leave the father and the mother and shall cleave to her husband. And then they come together and they should be in fellowship. But the woman says, no, it even has to come to the leadership. And when it gets to the leadership, and they say, what are we hearing? Okay, husband, talk. Since you joined us together, the woman will not allow me to consummate the marriage. Woman, what do you say to what your husband is saying? That's right. It's not time yet for me to give it to him. Isn't that the language of a sinner? The language of a backslider? It's the language of a person that says, I am in fellowship, but it's not time for me yet. She decides the time. Not time for me yet to give it to him. That's evil. That's sinful. That's violently taking away what belongs to the other person. It says, when that has been done, and now you realize, it says, he shall restore that which he took violently away. We need to make correction, and we need to make restoration of whatever we have taken away violently from the other man. You take his right away. You leave him with only responsibility. You have to do this, do this, do that. That's your responsibility. Thank you. How about my right? No. You're not going to be happy. You're not going to be rewarded. You're not going to have any benefit of the responsibility you carry out. And you take his right violently away. That proves you have gone away from real fellowship. But when you come to fellowship, you will restore what you are violently taking away. Philippians chapter 2, reading here from verse 1. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, any fellowship of the Spirit. Actually, fellowship comes from the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Fellowship comes from the Spirit, human spirit. And when there's a satanic spirit that comes and divides the people, and they're yielding to the devil, the fellowship is all destroyed, caught, separated, because there is a spirit. And sometimes there's transference of spirit. Transference of spirit from Esau, who hated Jacob, to the children of Esau, who hated the sons of Jacob. Transference of spirit from the descendants of Esau, who hated the descendants of Jacob, the Israelites. And the fight continues for years, for decades, for centuries, for millennia, because of the transference of the spirit coming from Esau to the children, to the descendants, and to the Edomites against the Israelites. Fellowship actually comes from the Spirit. And it says, if any bowels of mercies, in verse 2 it says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. That's fellowship. When you're in the church and you've been there for 1 year, we should be like-minded. You're hearing the same thing. You're feeding on the same word. You're hearing the same doctrine. When you have been together in the church, in the real fellowship of the church, for 1 year, for 2 years, for 5 years, it says you are like-minded. Your minds are like each other. And when in marriage, you've married for 1 year, for 5 years, you've been talking together, relating together, sharing together, fellowship in the family, you'll be like-minded. You will not, after 20, 30 years of marriage, you're thinking that direction. And the wife is thinking in a divergent direction. No. When you've been together and you've been sharing the same word, the same book, the same Bible, the same doctrine, the same inspired word enlightening us, it says we'll be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Then in verse 4, it says, look not every man on his own sins, but every man also on the things of others. Now it concludes that section with verse 5. Let this mind be in you. If everybody in the church obeyed that, he obeys that, he has the mind of Christ. She obeys that, she has the mind of Christ. Everyone having the same mind, the mind of Christ, there'll be no division, there'll be no disunity, there'll be no strife, there'll be no fighting, there'll be no exchange of blows. There are blows of words, there are blows of the fist, there are blows of running down other people. There'll be no exchange of blows if everyone had the same mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's what it takes, but it takes prayer. That we go to the Lord and he instills in us, he imparts unto us that mind of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, reading from verse 25. Ephesians chapter 4, reading from verse 25. It says, wherefore, putting away lying. And you have to do that deliberately. If that thing is on your heart, lying. If that thing is on your tongue, lying. If that is in your body language. If that is in your system, pretense. It says, deliberately, you put it away from your heart. You put it away from your tongue. You put it away from your hand. You put it away from your system. It says, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor. For we are members of the same body of one another. That is fellowship. And I pray that our fellowship will be genuine in Jesus' name. We're coming to point number two. Point number two, fresh fellowship, blossoming, through the bridegroom. As we look at this, we're looking at the very fact that as we come to Christ, we're truly in fellowship one with another. And this fellowship makes us to follow the way of the Lord. Have you heard? Charity begins at home. We can go for the fellowship begins at home. Honesty begins at home. Valuable virtue begins at home. As we think about fellowship, when you are in good fellowship with the person nearest to you, if you're married, your husband, your wife, if fellowship begins there, if charity begins there, if unity begins there, then it will be easy after you are born again, husband born again, and wife born again. If one is born again and the other is not born again, there are times as the one who is born again is obedient to his Lord, to her Lord, is obedient to the bridegroom, obedient to Christ. The one that is not born again will be obedient to his or her master. And when that happens, one part is obeying his or her master, the other one is obeying his or her other master. No way. They might smile, they might laugh, they might embrace, but you know, fellowship is not just in the hand, it is in the heart. And when you are divergent in your concentration, there's no way from the heart you will actually have that fellowship. Now, if we say this is what is fellowship, we must say what is not fellowship. Fellowship, fear, is not fellowship. If I fear you, if you fear me, and we have to be dealing with each other by fear. Watch what I say. Even though I want to say the truth, I cannot tell the truth. I fear. He doesn't have that 100% commitment to the truth. And so I'm afraid of what to say. There is no fear in fellowship. Envy. Envy is not a fellowship. Because I cannot tell my testimony. I cannot reveal my joy. I cannot show I'm happy. He'll be envious. She'll be envious. Envy is not of fellowship. Lying. Lying is not a fellowship. Look at these disciples. They were all together in one place. And here comes Ananias. And then he claims to be in the fellowship. Here comes Sapphira. She claims to be in the fellowship. And at this line, Ananias. Why? Has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And some few hours later, the wife came. Tell me, wife, is it so much you sold the land? Yes, yes, yes. We're in fellowship now. Barnabas did it. This one contributed. That one contributed. And so we also come. How have you agreed together to lie to the Holy Ghost? And then you know the story. You know what happened. License. License to do what I want to do. That is not fellowship. The leave me alone attitude. Leave me alone. Preach, but don't talk to me. I have my peculiar bosom sin, and that's my choice. To get to heaven or to get to hell, that's my choice. And I don't want you, preacher, ever talking and going in that direction. The leave me alone attitude is not a fellowship. Brother, would you know that this is wrong? Please, don't touch that area. That is me. There's no fellowship there. All we want is this plastic smile. All we want is this hypocritical smile. There is no F, fear in fellowship. E, envy in fellowship. L, there's no lying in fellowship. And not the other L, there's no leave me alone policy in fellowship. O, there is no obstinacy in fellowship. I did it last time. I hear the man standing up there and correcting this. He is obstinate. He is going to do it again. There's no fellowship. And you all say, you know, like a church goer, church comer. If there is fellowship, obstinacy will not be there. W, there is no warfare in fellowship. When we turn the house fellowship to battlefield, when we turn the district church to battlefield, and when we turn the central headquarters church to the battleground, and there is warfare, my friend, there's no fellowship there. We're looking at who will survive the battle. There's no fellowship there. Fellowship is strive. There's no strive in fellowship. No strife in fellowship. Have you seen that couple? They're just coming from the marriage ceremony, and somebody is driving, and they are, you know, brother, new husband, sister, new wife, both of them at the back of the car, and they're arguing. And the other fellows, if they don't shut up, I'll slap you. There's no fellowship there. If you begin the first day of marriage, well, strive. How is it going to be the following week, the following month, or the following year, or for the rest of your life? And you are locked up with this man, with this woman, who is all for warfare and for strife. There is no hatred in fellowship. H, there's no hypocrisy in fellowship. If you are in fellowship, you're going to suspend, to yank out that strife and bury that thing. And there is no insincerity in fellowship. If there is true fellowship, we're sincere with one another. You told me something yesterday. Now, I asked you a question about the same subject, and today you have a different answer, opposite to what you told me yesterday. How sincere are you? There is no insincerity in fellowship. P, there's no pride in fellowship. No pride in fellowship. Look, here I am. I was sitting together on the same bench. Were it not for church? Were it not for salvation? Why it not for me humbling myself to become saved? You, okay, if you don't know who I am, I must tell you. Because you think because we're sitting on the same bench, we're equal. No, we're not. I am this, I am this, I am that. No fellowship, no fellowship. When you look down on the other fellow and you compel him, look up at me here if you want to breathe. There's no pride in fellowship. When we have real fellowship, things are going to be different. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives. I'm sure you know the other part is also compelling. Wives, love your husbands. There's no one part in fellowship. My husband, the Bible commands you to love me unconditionally. If I spit on your face, the Bible says, love me. If I step and march and grind your toes, the Bible says, love me. The sister, the other side must be brought in. Husband, love your wife. Wife, love your husband. And then it goes on to say, even as Christ also loved the church, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Look at verse 26. In verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of the word, by of water, by the word. Dirt, defilement, and anything that is not clean is not accepted in the fellowship, in the family, and in his family. His family is the church. And then in verse 27, it says that he might present it to himself a glorious church. A church of fellowship is a church that is glorious. A church where there is no fear. A church where there is no envy. A church where there is no lying. A church where there is no leave me alone. A church where there is no obstinacy. A church where there is no warfare. A church where there is no strife. A church where there is no hypocrisy. A church where there is no insincerity. A church where there is no pride. That is a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Actually, a church that is sanctified is a church in fellowship. A church that is purified from the depravity of Adam and Eve, that is a church in fellowship. A church where there's no division. A church where there's no opposition to God. God has said, and we're not walking by emotion. We're not walking by feeling. We're not walking by the flesh. We're walking by our submission to the word that the Almighty God has said. That's the church in fellowship. Verse 28. In verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. And so ought women to love their husbands as their own bodies. Fellowship is reciprocal. It's not just love me, love me, love me. But don't worry whether I love you or not. Just love me. Fellowship is double way, two-way traffic. You love her, she loves you. You love the brethren love you. That's the way it works. And it says, so ought men to love their wives, and so ought women to love their husbands as their own bodies. Think about that. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, and she that loveth her husband loveth herself. Look at verse 29. In verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, and no woman ever yet hated his own, her own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Look at verse 33. In verse 33, it says, nevertheless, let every one of you. You see, the word of God speaks to everyone, speaks to the leader, speaks to the led, speaks to the leader, speaks to the laity, speaks to the preachers, and speaks to the people on the pew, everyone. Speaks to the ministers, and speaks to the members, everyone. Let every one of us, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see, make sure that she reverence, she honor her husband. We're coming to point number three. Point number three now, we're looking at full fellowship. Full fellowship of believers as brethren. We're told in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly. They continued steadfastly. These are real believers. They continued steadfastly. They didn't have any implanted disorganizing nature in their inside their heart. They were born again. They were baptized in water. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Fellowship. Full fellowship, fresh fellowship, faithful fellowship. Look at F. F in the fellowship means following the bridegroom by the book. You live by the book. You follow Christ, the bridegroom, by the book. In Revelation chapter 14, reading verse 4. Revelation 14 verse 4. These are they which were not defiled with women. These are they which were not defiled with men as well, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb. They follow the bridegroom whithersoever he goeth. These were the redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, and in their mouth was found no guile, no hypocrisy, no deception, no lying. These are true believers. In their mouth no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. F, we're following the bridegroom. E, we edify believers in the body. When you are really in fellowship, you edify others. Edify you, and you edify others, and they remember you for edification. They don't remember you sorrowful. He will not allow me to do the will of God as I ought to. He will put a stumbling block before me while trying to obey the Lord. He will try to shut me down while I want to use my voice to glorify the Lord. No edification there, no fellowship there. Fellowship means you are edifying the believers in the body. In Romans chapter 14, we're looking at verse 16. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. In verse 17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 18, it says, for he that in these things serveth Christ, in what you do, is acceptable to God and approved of men. Verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another, edifying each other. You edify them to inspire them. You edify them to make them happy in what they're doing, joyful in what they're doing, concentrating on what they're doing and giving all their heart, all their mind, all their soul to what they're doing in serving the Lord. You allow them to have the same liberty you want in serving the Lord, the same success you want in serving the Lord, and the same excitement you have in serving the Lord, you allow the other person to have the same joy, the same drive, the same inspiration, and the same excitement in serving the Lord. L is living as believers after new birth and after water baptism. You live, you're in the midst of the people of God. You've left the old life. You've left the old society. Joyfully and happily, you're serving the Lord, and you are living as a believer after you are born again and after you are baptized in water. That is fellowship. L is laboring and building with the builder. You are laboring and you are building with the builder. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Paul and Timothy, no disagreement, laboring together. Paul and Silas, no disagreement, they're laboring together. When Paul was saying something, Silas will not be saying, Paul, what this man is saying will get us into trouble. These unbelievers are going to get angry, and they might, you know, even arrest us and put us in the prison. And then doing something with the hand, something to distract Paul, so that Paul will not continue to say what he was saying. No, not at all. Silas and Paul, even though the utterance of Paul, even though the prayer to cast out devils from that maiden, from that lady, will get them into prison all the same. When he got into the prison, they were singing together, Paul and Silas. And there was no disturbance, not disturbing Paul not to say what he was saying, because this will land us in trouble, and this will make these magistrates to arrest us. In fellowship, we're laboring together and building with the builder. And that's why Paul the apostle said, for we, not just me, we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. Oh, there, oh, is obeying as Bible believing brethren. Obeying as Bible believing brethren. In 1 Peter chapter 1, reading from verse 14. 1 Peter 1 verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. When we were ignorant, there were things we did, who are ignorant, of course. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. We are ignorant, but now we see our eyes are opened. Our hearts are transformed. Our lives are changed. We are on our way to life eternal forever and ever. We are now in the narrow path that leads to heaven. We are no more ignorant. We have studied Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus, and almost the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We have studied the promises and the precepts and the prophecies. We are no more ignorant. How are we living according to what we have learned? Are we in the light and still living and acting as if we were in darkness? Are we well instructed and we're still living in our old ignorance? Fellowship does not grow. Fellowship does not even exist in that situation. But well, being as Bible believing brethren, that's why it says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lusts in your ignorance. In verse 15, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner. In all manner, in church, in all manner, in the office, in all manner, in the bus, on the train, in all manner, in the market, in the family, in your home, in all manner of conversation, in our lifestyle. W is watching prayerfully against besetting battles. There are besetting sins, there are besetting battles. Battles that just come, and they are, you know, the battles came yesterday. Did you learn your lesson how to overcome when the battle came yesterday? If you have not learned your lesson, the battle may come today again, and then the battle may come tomorrow. That man is weak. Weak. If the same battle that has come previous year, last year, this year, if a battle that has come 7, 8, 9 times, and you have not learned how to overcome that besetting battle, that's weakness. But when those besetting battles come, you watch prayerfully. You've learned the lesson previous years, and now it's at your fingertips, and you can overcome. You're able to watch, able to pray, so that nothing comes upon you unawares anymore. In Luke chapter 21, verse 34, it says, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares. Verse 35, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. In verse 36, watch ye therefore and pray. Watch prayerfully. Watch therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Well, well, watch. And then S is to share, sharing bountiful basics for others' benefits, others' blessings. You're sharing, that's fellowship. You're not selfish. You're not stingy. You're sharing. You share basic bounties. You share your money. You share your food. You share your drinks. You share your time. Share your time. Time is money. That's all right. Share it, share it, share it. Don't be so stingy with time. My time, my time. Share those basics with other people. You know, somebody is talking to you. You're looking at your wristwatch. He understands. He can catch the message. What I'm saying is not as important. I am not valuable. I'm not worthy. He's looking at the time. He wants me to shut up very quickly. When you do that to a neighbor, you understand? When you do that to your boss in the place of work, he understands. When you do that to your wife, she understands. When you do that to your husband, he understands. When you do that to your pastor, to the preacher, he understands that your time is more important than the message that takes us to heaven. Sharing bountiful basics with others for others' benefits. We're looking at Acts chapter 2, reading from verse 44. It says, "And all that believed were together and had all things common." Can you have the bottle of water? Come on. Can you have your meal, your food? Come on. Can you have clothes? You have too much, you have too many, and share with the people that are naked? Can you share at this time of hunger, at this time of need? Can you share with other people? That's what they did. That's what they did. That's why there was fellowship, sharing bountiful basics for others, blessings, others, benefits. H is helping backsliders back to the body. Helping, not condemning them, not browbeating them, not smashing them, not insulting them, not slandering them, not looking down on them, not throwing blocks and stones of terrible words at them, but helping backsliders back to the body. That is fellowship. In James chapter 5, verse 19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him. In verse 20, let him know that he which converted the sinner, the backslider, from the error of his way shall save a soul. What's your interest? Is it for the backslider to perish? What he did affected you. What he did affected your personality, and he's a backslider. What he did affected your family negatively. What he did affected your temporal joy, happiness. Okay, because of that thing the backslider has done, would you prefer him to perish because of that? How much did you suffer from what he did? Maybe you suffered 1 hour, 1 day, 1 year. You want him to perish and suffer 100, 1,000, 1,000,000 years forever and ever because of the way you felt unhappy with what he did? Save a soul. Don't let them perish. Forget how you felt and forget what he has done to you. He shall save a soul from death and shall hide and cover and bury a multitude of sins. I increasing the body as at the beginning. Increasing the body us at the beginning. That's fellowship. That's how we know a fellowship. And when we started house caring fellowship in our church in the 80s, about 40 years now, and when we started, they were increasing. We had real fellowship. The people, there was no fear, there was no envy, and there was no lying, and there was no leave me alone, and there was no obstinacy, there was no warfare, there was no strife, and there was no hatred, there was no hypocrisy, there was no insincerity, there was no pride. We just loved one another, and the house fellowship then increase. And it's saying a fresh fellowship, a full fellowship, a faithful fellowship is now brought back. It will bring the increase in the body as at the beginning. And then P, it's prevailing together as brethren. Prevailing together as brethren. And as they were persecuted, they all came together and in fellowship, and they prayed with one accord, and the power of God came down afresh, and the apostles gave witness to the resurrection in the power of the Spirit. Fellowship is coming back again. And you have responsibility. I have responsibility. You must forget yourself, and you must remember others and see what you contribute sacrificially, that the fellowship may be real, the fellowship biblical, the fellowship refreshing, and the fellowship caring for one another, and the fellowship totally obliterating and totally canceling selfishness or self-centeredness. I pray everything we've heard will bear fruit in every heart in Jesus' name. Let's rise up now and talk to the Lord in prayer. Let's rise up, talk to the Lord in prayer. Let the evidence of what we've heard, let it show even from this time. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. No fear in fellowship. No envy in fellowship. No lying in fellowship. No leave me alone in fellowship. No opposition. No obstinacy in fellowship. No warfare in fellowship. No strife in fellowship. No hatred in fellowship. No insincerity in fellowship. No pride in fellowship. Fellowship following the Lord. That's where fellowship starts. You leave the masters who are following before, Satan, society, the world, the devil, the flesh. You leave the old master. Now you follow, as a believer, the bridegroom. Fellowship. Edifying others, other believers, as members of the same body. Edify. what you do, how you live, how you walk. Do you edify the church? You live as Bible believing believers. That's fellowship. Everywhere you find yourself, everywhere you go, you are living as a Bible believer. Every doctrine you have learned, you're living according to that which you have learned. Your thoughts, your behavior, according to what you have learned in the Word. When you live like that, I live like that, you live like that, she lives like that, he lives like that, there'll be fellowship. Your labor to build with the builder. Christ says, upon this rock I build my church. And you don't take that church as you take a flower and get the flower out from the branch until it withers. And the church of Christ withering in your hand, and the flower, the beautiful flower of the grace of God in other people's lives, is that withering in your hand, labor to build with the builder. Obey as a Bible believing believer, as obedient children. Not when you feel good, when you feel hot, when you feel cold, when you feel uninterested. Feeling has nothing to do with this. It's your will. It's your concentration, consecration. I will to obey my Lord. It says law. It's not how you feel. It's not what he has done. No. It's not what she has said. No. Your Lord has commanded. And ever what others have done, what others have not done, obey. You obey as Bible-believing brethren. You watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. You watch and pray, lest your action makes your brother, your sister, to fall into temptation. Watch, pray, lest your local pastor there falls into temptation. The temptation of leaving the Word and then going off on a tangent because you tipped him. Watch. Lest that babe in Christ backslides. Watch. Watch, lest you destroy yourself. Watch. Watch. You watch prayerfully, lest you do anything that will scatter the fellowship. Watch. Share. Is time precious to you? Share. You love the word of God. Share the time to declare that word of God. But if you are so selfish as to time, and that makes you to forget how precious the word of God is, how beneficial the word of God is, and while the preacher is preaching to you, you're looking at your watch, wristwatch, you're looking at your time, and you're giving indication as if you don't want much of the word of God. You rather go and spend time outside doing unnecessary, irrelevant things than stay, hear the word. Your time the preacher of the word, but you don't time the gossips. Share your time, share your money. Not enough for you? Okay, he has nothing. Take something out and give to them. Share your money. Share your food. Share the water. Share your knowledge. Share your courage. Share the good attributes you have to help others. Don't be so self-centered. You're thinking only about yourself, about your happiness. Do something good for others, even when you are not happy. Share. Share the bountiful blessings and the basics you have for others' benefits. Share. Help. Help backsliders come back home. Help the prodigal daughters, the prodigal sons come back home. Help. Increase the body. Inspire the body. Instruct the body as at the beginning. Instruct in the house fellowship. Prepare before you get to the house fellowship. Imagine the challenges of the people that will be there and instruct them. Inspire them, increase their knowledge, increase their courage, increase their joy with your participation and your contribution in the house fellowship. Prevail, pray. With them, for them, pray, prevail. Possess the right attitude. Possess a positive outlook. Don't wear your sorrow on your sleeves. No pride. Positive attitude. Positive lifestyle. Possess that. Prevail and instruct others. how you're prevailing. Help others to be better after the house fellowship than before they came to the fellowship. Let there be fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
That's low level amen.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your word, serious, sincere, penetrating. We pray, Lord, in every area the word has spoken to each of us. We pray the balm of Gilead will soothe, will comfort, will transform every area of our lives according to the word in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, we'll not be selfishly thinking what the fellowship will do for me, but we'll be selflessly thinking what I can do for the fellowship. In the home, let there be true fellowship. In the house fellowship, let there be true fellowship. In the church at large, let there be fruitful fellowship in Jesus' name. The termites, the canker worms that destroy real fellowship, take everything away from our midst in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, our fellowship will be vibrant. Our fellowship will be valuable. Our fellowship will be virtuous. Our fellowship will launch the church on victory ground in Jesus' name. And we pray the grace that shows we're saved, the grace that exhibits sanctification, and the grace that also propels us in the power of the Spirit of God. Grant us the abundant grace in Jesus' name. And we pray, Lord, every moment, every time, every day, and throughout the week and throughout the month and our years, we pray we'll be conscious of Christ living and abiding in us and making us to live as Christ would have lived, knowing that our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son before the fellowship with the brethren. Lord, we pray, balance everything up in every one of our lives in Jesus' name. Cancel pride from every heart and grant us the mind of Christ that brings some boldness of mind and makes us to remain in sincere, honest fellowship with one another in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.